You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey Sooner fans, it's Monday, and that means it's the start of another week of the Locked On Sooners podcast, your daily Sooner podcast as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, David Walker. I'm a former Sooners offensive lineman, a former college basketball coach, and also the co-host of the Iron Horse podcast with former Dallas Cowboy Brandon Carr. You can follow me on Twitter at D_walk74. I want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. And if you go to builtbar.com, you can get 20% off by using the promo code LOCKEDON. And we have a loaded show today. And I'm fired up to talk about a few things that I am very passionate about. One, Oklahoma basketball. Two, offensive line play and a new addition to the Sooners offensive line room. And three, in segment number three, we're going to talk a little bit about Texas and how they hung Mike Stoops out to dry. Now, are those things I ever thought I would say out loud in my life? Mike Stoops and Texas and controversy between those two? Can't say that I did. But we're going to talk about it in segment three. I've got a lot of thoughts on what took place there over the weekend and the week that was as it relates to Mike Stoops potentially joining Steve Sarkisian's staff and having that rug pulled out from underneath him. But we'll get on that later in the show. But for starters, let's go to Lloyd Noble Center on Saturday. Man, it's a weird situation, right? It's an 11 a.m. game on a Saturday, sparse crowd, it's a COVID crowd, but Kansas is in town, top 10 Kansas. 100-time defending Big 12 champion in a row, Kansas. I mean, they own the league. They have owned the league for over a decade now under Bill Self. However, for the third time in the last four seasons, they've gone down in Norman to Long Kruger and the Sooners. And Saturday was just a continuation of what has been a developing theme for this Oklahoma program, which is defense, defense, defense. They're clamping down on that side of the floor. And offensively, they're getting enough contribution from guys that you might not have even known about coming into this year to win these basketball games. I mean, that's their second win over a number nine ranked team here in the last 3 weeks. Going back to the West Virginia win, where Emoja Gibson came on the scene, the North Texas transfer had 29 points in that game. And then Saturday, Davion Harmon scores a season-high 22 points in the win over Kansas. And coming into the year, it was, you know, Brady Manick, Prairie Bird, coming back for his senior season. It was Austin Reeves. And you really looked at those two guys as we need those guys to carry the weight for this team to realize its potential. And nobody really was sure of what that ceiling was, what that potential was for this team. But now you're getting big-time contributions from guys outside of those two. And in your two biggest wins of the year, it hasn't been Austin Reeves. It certainly hasn't been Brady Manick carrying that load. It's been these other guys who are coming in, ready to go, having a hot hand, and yet defensively they're staying locked in, playing great team defense, individual defense on the ball, but team defense as a whole that's leading to them getting these stops, stop after stop. And that's keeping them in these ball games when they're not shooting the basketball particularly well. Austin Reeves, leading scorer. Fun fact, Austin Reeves is the only player in America, yes, the United States of America, in Division I basketball, averaging 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. Only guy. Is he Buddy Hield? Nope. Is he Trey Young? Nope. But is he a good basketball player? You bet he is. And he's not just a good basketball player. He's a smart basketball player. He's a heady basketball player. He's scoreless at halftime. Started off 0-for-7 from the field. However, finishes with 16 points, 10-of-11 from the free throw line. The guy just knows how to win. The guy knows how to get people in foul trouble, knows how to utilize ball fakes, knows how to get people in bad situations, and he takes advantage of it. And defensively, he knows how to take a charge. He knows how to irritate. And I love that. I love a guy like that on my team. A guy that can get under people's skin and yet still has the capability to go drop 40 or 35 or, you know, just ask TCU. He's worn those guys out a couple times down in Fort Worth. But the fact that they're getting these contributions across the board and they're winning at a clip that has got them now number three in the Big 12. They're in third place in the toughest conference in America, and the two teams in front of them are in the top five. So the two teams behind them are in the top 25. Now, the poll comes out today. At the time I'm recording this, we don't know where Oklahoma's going to be in the top 25, but I'm sure they'll find themselves there. And then no rest for the weary. Tomorrow night, they head down to Austin. Number five, Texas, coming up on deck. So another brutal stretch for Oklahoma. Back-to-back top 10 teams. They got more on the horizon. They got Texas Tech. They got West Virginia left to play again. They got to go to Morgantown. And this schedule is not going to lighten up. But the fact that they're able to win these basketball games while getting very little contribution from one of their best players coming into the year. Look, Brady Manek had the COVID situation where he was out for a week or two. They eased him back in. He's been coming in off the bench. But they beat Kansas in Norman, and Brady Manek had 5 points, played 21 minutes, was relatively ineffective. Hit a big three down the stretch. Don't want to take that away. And this isn't an attack on Brady Manek, but it's very clear that he's out of rhythm, that he's out of sync. You know, he's one of a handful of guys that have made over 200 threes in the history of the program. He's had a nice career, a very good career. But man, if there's a way for him to get an extra year out of all this stuff, if he could come back for another year, if there's a way to get that waiver or hardship or something, it would be awesome for him to get another year. He's not an NBA guy, but he is a good program guy. He is a winning basketball player. I'm sure he's finding himself frustrated, just trying to work himself back in, but they're getting some big time contribution from Elijah Harkless, who transferred from Cal Northridge, was able to get immediate eligibility. And that game Saturday against Kansas, he was locking them up defensively. He was an energy giver. He was an X factor. And those guys are just playing really well together. So in the absence of Brady Manek providing what they expected him to provide, they're finding contributions elsewhere. Kirk Weth, as center, has been very serviceable. I mean, his stat line isn't impressive, 6 points, seven rebounds, but he's doing a good job. He's able to stretch the defense a little bit. He's not the best long-range shooter, but for a seven-footer to step out there and be able to knock down a three, to be able to knock down a 15-footer, he does provide versatility for this offense, and I'm excited to watch them play in Austin tomorrow night. I know Shaka Smart's having a revitalized season, kind of putting himself back on the map with his new haircut, but it'll be big time to watch OU and Texas down in Austin tomorrow night, so be sure to tune into that. And we come back here on Locked On Sooners, we're going to talk about the newest addition to the Sooners offensive line room. What does that mean for the depth? And what can we expect this group to look like in 2021? They underperformed in 2020 by most accounts. So we're going to talk about that team, that unit, when we come back right here on Locked On Sooners.
Hey guys, I want to talk to you for a second about Keeps. If you're anything like me, you care about the way your hair looks before you head out the door. It's the last thing I check when I'm heading to work or going on a date with the wife. There's just something about having your hair nice. You look good, you feel good. But did you know that 2 out of 3 men will experience some kind of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? You can count me as one of those. I've noticed the hair that is no longer there, but thankfully there's Keeps, the simple and easy way to prevent hair loss. Before Keeps, you used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can now visit with the doctor online and get your hair loss medication delivered directly to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months so you can say goodbye to the pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor's appointments. Prevention is key. Keeps treatments typically take 4 to 6 months to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/lockedoncollege to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/lockedoncollege. Hey, and are you ready for some football? We had the AFC and NFC championship games this past weekend. Now we got the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. So there's one last chance to get in on the NFL action over at betonline.ag. But they still got college basketball going on, basketball, NBA games, the NHL started up. So a lot of opportunities for you to get in on the action. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. You can also get in on the futures bets. Oklahoma's odds to win the national championships. Spencer Rattler's odds to win the Heisman are over there as well. So lots of opportunities for you to get in on the action. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
And we're back here on Locked On Sooners. I want to talk about the offensive line. Shocker, right? I know. I played O-line. Yeah, of course I want to talk about the O-line. Well, they got a new body over the weekend. They got a new starter over the weekend. Now, will he start for the Sooners? I don't know. But he started all the games for Arizona in a COVID-shortened season. Arizona was not any good. Kevin Sumlin lost his job over that. But Robert Kongle started 13 games over the last 2 years for Arizona, and now he's a Sooner. He will be a senior. He's 6'4", 320, has played center, can play a little guard, and he adds a lot of versatility to an offensive line that can use it because they're replacing Creed Humphrey, an All-American, likely first-round draft pick. They're replacing both of their tackles, and we got bodies there that we feel good about. I think as Sooner fans, you look at this unit, I think there's a lot there to be excited about. I think there's depth there that is encouraging because they need depth. They need to be pushed. In my opinion, in spite of the fact that the receiver, I kind of felt like receiver was going to be the biggest question mark. How are they going to replace, CeeDee Lamb? And coming off of this great run of receivers, who was going to step up and be that guy? Now, arguably, nobody stepped up to become that guy. It was more by committee, but they were adequate and they did a good enough job to win football games and be in a position to win every single football game that they played this year. Despite the drop passes that Spencer Rattler would have had more touchdowns, we can look back on that and say, yeah, receivers could have been better, but the offensive line could have been better for sure. Now, looking ahead to 2021, there's a lot of question marks, but I think there's a lot of answers right there sitting there on campus now. These guys are starting to make their way in early enrollees. A lot of the freshmen reported last week. These transfers are getting into class. I know Wanya Morris is there enrolling. And now Robert Kongle comes and joins him. So you got two guys in Kongle and Morris who have started elsewhere, Power 5 programs. Not great Power 5 programs, but they're starting games. They're proven commodities at the FBS level, at the Power 5 level. And now they're adding depth and versatility to your unit, along with Chris Murray, who transferred from UCLA and had started for that program. So you basically have three guys to plug in. And I know Chris Murray got eligible halfway through the year. He got his feet wet, got to play a little bit. But you can't have too many guys who are battle-tested. And you can't have too many guys there that are able and capable of being starter or playing starter minutes to push those other guys in that unit, because that's a position group that you need depth, all right? Somebody gets rolled up on in a game, ACLs, ankles, backs, you name it, it can all happen. And throughout the course of a year, something generally does. So the more depth you have, the more competition at those spots, the better. And just looking at those projections in that offensive line unit, I think you look at Anton Harrison at left tackle. He played a lot there with Swenson last year. Rotated in a little bit. Then you got Wanya Morris, a right tackle. Now, could they flip that depending upon where they feel Wanya Morris is best suited, where a younger Harrison is most comfortable? Sure. But I think your tackles, you're looking at those two guys. Now, Bray Walker, Stacey Wilkins, both those guys are 6'6", 300 plus. You got depth there as well. I think you got a couple potential battles right there on your hands for those tackle spots, although I would say it's safe to say Wanya Morris will be occupying one side of that offensive line. At center, I don't know. I'm not really sure what to expect there. I think that Chris Murray, to me, is the guy I'd be putting my money on for that spot. I know McIver is coming back. I know he's saw some time, but we'll see. I think it'll come down to one of those two guys. And then Hayes and Robinson at guard, those are the guys that are going to be seniors. They'll be fifth-year seniors coming back and playing those guard spots. And you expect a lot from those two. I think the results from what they played this year were mixed reviews. I think they got better as the season went on. Early on, there's a lot of penalties from those spots. Really, that right side of the offensive line was very penalty heavy in those first few games, especially those losses. So I don't know what to expect there, but I do think those two guys are going to be very crucial to this offensive line reaching its potential. You got guys who are seniors who have been around the program, been around Biedenboe for a long time. But now you throw Congle in there, and that's kind of the wild card. I think he could be a swing player where he can play center, play some guard, and, you know, you got Andrew Rame there as well. But I don't know. I just think if you look at the center position, another guy that can snap the football, now you got McIver, you got Congle, you got Murray that can do it, then that's a healthy, healthy, healthy competition. Because what you don't want is just to have one or two guys you're depending upon, and one goes down, and now all of a sudden you're there with one guy that you trust at center. You want three guys that are very capable of stepping in at any given time and snap the football to Spencer Rattler and or Caleb Williams. So that's a huge development for the Oklahoma offensive line to have that kind of quality depth. Because, look, you can be really good at Oklahoma and not have great quality depth, and that's a slippery slope. I mean, I can think back. I mean, there's times where we've had big-time offensive lines, but if you really look down the depth chart and you think, man, what happens if that guy goes down? It can get dicey. So the more depth there, the better. And I think Oklahoma has found themselves strengthened through the transfer portal at that position. And that's a position where you want guys that have a couple of years on. You want guys who have been through college football and college conditioning, college, you know, strength and conditioning, putting the weight on, having the mental edge. You don't want to rely upon true freshmen. And I don't even think you really want to rely upon a JUCO guy at that spot, because that's just a whole different world coming from JUCO, where maybe they were the big fish in a small pond, to bringing a guy in from Arizona, bringing a guy in from Tennessee that have started and gone against really good defensive linemen when the pressure's on and when it's on national television and there's nowhere to hide. So there's no substitute for that kind of game experience. And now you put all those guys in that same room together, you're going to find you five that you feel good about. And you're going to find five that Spencer Rattler feels good about. So I think it was a really good move. It's an under-the-radar move to add Robert Congle. It's not something that people are going to get super excited about, but it is important. It's important to look at that depth and really understand it, understand why it's there, understand why it's necessary. And I think that does nothing but strengthen the opportunity for Oklahoma to be able to realize its potential offensively in 2021 in what looks like a very, very promising season. So I know Biedenboe's going to be excited about it. I'm sure the quarterback room's excited about it. Now it's time for them to get to work this winter, get to work in the spring, find the chemistry that's necessary to be a great offensive line unit, to get back to where they were. I thought they took a step back as a unit this past year. So the more quality guys you get in that room, the higher upside and the better opportunity they have to get back to the level of offensive line play that Coach Biedenboe's known for. And when we come back on Locked On Sooners, I want to go down the road to Austin and talk about whatever it was that happened with Mike Stoops, the University of Texas, and a job that didn't come to fruition. We're going to talk about it. We're back right here on Locked On Sooners.
Now I want to take a minute to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's 100% covered in chocolate, and it's easy to eat. They've got 18 great flavors, including new options like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry Garcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. My personal favorites are the peanut butter brownie and the coconut almond. I also like that caramel brownie one as well. There's so many really, really good flavors. I've been working through a mixed box recently, and I've rediscovered that I like that lemon almond cheesecake or that apple almond crisp. Just absolutely delicious. They've got as much as 18 grams of protein and only 4 or 5 grams of sugar. They're low in calorie, high protein, low sugar. It's the perfect protein bar for meal replacement. You know, I've had protein bars kind of all my life. I used to play sports, and a protein bar was a great way to just kind of fuel up before a game or at halftime or things like that. But they always had that gritty protein powder flavor aftertaste to them. This does not have this. When we say it tastes like a candy bar, it tastes like a candy bar. You will not be disappointed. So make sure you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% off your next order of Built Bar. So that's BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON and save 20% off your order.
And we're back here on Locked On Sooners, spending a few more minutes with you here on a Monday. All right. I've been waiting all weekend to talk about this, and I don't have all the answers on this. There's more questions than answers on this, but I did find it fascinating. The Mike Stoops Texas Longhorn saga. Wow. I mean, this story really should have broken 2020. I mean, this has 2020 written all over it. Yet here we are, January of 2021, closing in on February of 2021. And we're talking about Mike Stoops in Texas. What a world. All right. Now, listen, whatever you think of Mike Stoops, and I know if you're listening to this podcast and you're a red-blooded Sooner fan, you've got an opinion on Mike Stoops, and I would guess it's probably a pretty strong one way or the other. And I guess I can probably guess which way it is. But let me tell you this. Despite how that last run as defensive coordinator played out after he came back on staff, Mike Stoops is a good football coach, okay? How can you say that? Look what he did to our defense. Look at how he ran it in the ground when he came back. Look at Lincoln had to fire him. Might have cost us. Fair. But I can say that because I basically played for Mike Stoops. Wait, I thought you're an offensive lineman. I was. And my true freshman year, I was a scout team offensive lineman, scout team center, mind you, snapping the ball and trying to block Tommy Harris and Dusty Dvorak and Teddy Lehman and Dan Cody and Jonathan Jackson and on a safety blitz, maybe Brandon Everidge. So, yeah, I basically played for Mike Stoops because as a scout team center, I got to sit there and be at the mercy of whether Mike Stoops and Brent Venables thought we did a good enough job, or if we did too good of a job, we got to run the play over. The exact same play over against a defense that had just been cussed up and down and knew now very well what play we're about to run because we just ran it. Now we're going to run it again. So, yeah, I spent basically a full season under Mike Stoops. But listen, can Mike Stoops be abrasive? Absolutely. All right, listen, I heard it all. All right, I heard I tell you what, you guys all suck. Every last one of you. None of you are going to the bowl game to the scout scheme offense. I've heard it. I've heard a lot worse. I'm not going to use it all on the air here. But Mike Stoops, colorful guy, animated guy, polarizing guy to Sooner Nation. All of those things can be true. But that first run as defensive coordinator was fantastic. All right. When he left to go to Arizona before we went to the Big 12 championship in Kansas City, we were rolling. We were undefeated. We had a loaded defense full of NFL players. And I remember getting back on the plane after we lost to Kansas State and, you know, wishing him luck as I was walking to my seat and talked to him for a minute, knowing that was kind of the last ride with Mike. And there he went. He hung around for the national championship game a little bit, just kind of helping out, but not really actively coaching. He was already one foot out the door to Arizona. But that first run, the elite defense that was played, not great, elite defense that was played, winning a national title, appearing in a couple more. I know he didn't go down to the USC game, but he was a part of that defense. I mean, he built that defense and Coach V took it over. But Mike Stoops is a good football coach. And Mike Stoops was, obviously, he's an analyst for Alabama, hanging out with Sarkisian for the last couple of years. And there were reports early on in the Sarkisian hire that Mike Stoops might be his defensive coordinator. That was a hot rumor for a minute. And we kind of digested that, and man, how weird would that be if Mike is trying to stop Lincoln Riley's offense? Like, that would be bizarre. It'd be great for ratings, great for all the news writers, all the people that, you know, have something to write about and talk about and podcast about. It'd be great for a lot of us. But then it became a situation where it's like, oh, you know what? Breaking news. Mike Stoops is going to be the linebackers coach. Well, that seemed a little bit odd at first because he was a defensive back coach, but he can coach linebackers. Obviously, he had Butkus Award winners there at Oklahoma in Rocky and Teddy. I don't know. It was weird, but I was kind of buying into it. I was like, all right, you know what? Hey, man, he needs a job, and he's probably a little bit bitter towards Oklahoma. And yeah, it's going to be super weird to see a Stoops brother wearing a Longhorn visor on the other side of the Cotton Bowl, but I can understand it to an extent. I wasn't taking it personal. He has a job to do. He needs to find a good job. He's probably a little jaded. Makes sense. Pretty good hire, actually. If you can get a former head coach to be your linebackers coach, a former Power 5 head coach, a former national champion defensive coordinator, former national champion defensive analyst as well, for what that's worth. You can get that guy to be a position coach? I'm saying, heck yeah, bring him on. That's a great hire. The more guys you have in your coaching room who know what it's like to be a head coach and can relate with you, I think that's nothing but positive for Steve Sarkisian. And then everybody went to bed. And the next morning, somewhere between everybody kind of going to bed thinking Mike Stoops is going to be a Texas Longhorn assistant coach, and everybody waking up and brewing their coffee, the Texas boosters must have just like literally just blown Steve Sarkisian's phone up, or at least blown up Chris Del Conte's phone, the athletic director, and said, this isn't happening. He's not bringing in a Stoops to coach on this team. He's not bringing in Mike Stoops to coach on this team. It's not happening. And so Texas, once again, right on time, right on schedule, shows who they are. They are a big old spoiled brat baby, the richest kid in town that squanders everything because they can't get out of their own way, because they got no discipline, because they're never held accountable, because they think they're better than everybody else, and they think that by their resources, they're going to be awarded the best opportunities. They're going to be awarded more playing time. They're going to be awarded whatever. They're every person you've ever known in your life that fits that bill. That's who Texas football is. And they are that because of their boosters, who are a bunch of narcissistic nobodies that haven't done anything on a football field, but they pay all the money. They pay all the buyouts. They buy out all the suites. They help with the stadium renovations. They sit there and they read the Campbell's Texas football stuff, and they think they're some kind of football somebody, and they dictate to these coaches. And I start to feel sorry for them. All right. I don't know. Mac Brown was able to stand up to him. He doesn't strike me as a guy that stands up to people. Kind of has that all shucks kind of guy. He's a very, very agreeable dude. I don't think Mac Brown was standing up to boosters. Charlie Strong probably never had much of a shot. Tom Herman probably never had much of a shot. Who does? Urban Meyer might have had a shot to stand up to boosters. But clearly, Steve Sarkisian doesn't have a shot, because he's not even able to build out his own staff without his big brothers, the boosters, coming and telling him who he can and cannot hire. Because you can't tell me that this is all just a bunch of smoke and there wasn't any fire to it. Bull crap. Those guys worked together for 2 years. Ain't no way Mike Stoops is looking at houses in Austin, turning down the North Texas defensive coordinator job with Seth Luttrell, by all reports, that he's going to turn all that stuff down and sit around just to go back to being an analyst whenever he was liking tweets on Twitter about him going to Texas. So he was kind of like low-key confirming that's what was going to happen the night before. And then all of a sudden Friday, on Thursday, he's liking tweets about him going to Texas. And then on Friday, the rug gets pulled out from underneath him with the entire college football world watching. You talk about humiliating a guy. Let's float it out there that you're hiring him from an analyst position that he worked with you on. He was working with you for 2 years. Word gets out that he's coming on board with you. He kind of starts acknowledging that. Look, Mike Stoops is not a Twitter happy person. It's not like he's just rolling around scrolling through Twitter to like stuff. I mean, that's not the kind of guy he is. He's a lot more reserved than that, despite his sidelining antics. And all of a sudden, you're going to just sit there and pull that rug out because the big boys told you, you don't have as much authority as you might have thought you were getting. I know how they do things elsewhere, but down here in Texas, we call the shots, not our head coach. Maybe you didn't get the memo from Mac and Charlie and Tom, but this is how we do it in Texas. This is Texas. Well, we'll see how it plays out for Steve Sarkisian. I'm sure he's got a fine coaching staff. I think he's made some good hires. All right, I'm not like so anti-Texas I can't be objective. Now, is Steve Sarkisian a great hire? I think the jury's way out on that. We'll see. To me, it's Tom Herman 2.0 with a little bit of an upgrade, but I don't see a significant upgrade in this situation. However, bringing in Mike Stoops, who actually has Big 12 ties when Steve Sarkisian has zero, bringing in a former national champion defensive coordinator, a former FBS head coach, former Power 5 head coach, a former colleague of yours who spent the last few years just like you under Nick Saban, that would have made a lot of sense. But it's all for naught because the big, bad Texas boosters wouldn't let it happen. And my feelings towards Mike aside, I just find it hilarious, actually, that Texas just finds more ways than I can ever imagine to show us who they are. And it's really comical, and it just never gets old. I mean, maybe you get tired of it. I don't. And you know what? I think 4 years from now, we'll be finding out, man, how much is it going to cost them to buy out Steve Sarkisian and his whole staff so they can bring in whoever they think is the next big thing? But I can tell you one thing, clearly won't be a Sooner. I think they've had their fill of that. Apparently, you know, Darryl Royal, former Sooner, Mack Brown, former Sooner coordinator. Oh, shoot, man, somebody better tell them that Thompson, their new prodigy quarterback, somebody might want to tell him, hey, you know, his dad was a pretty good quarterback for the Sooners. Somebody might want to tell him that before he gets too far down the road, before they start his Heisman campaign, because their pettiness level, their little inferiority complex between looking across the state to Texas A&M and seeing them in the Orange Bowl, between looking up to North Carolina and seeing their former head coach in the Orange Bowl, to looking up I-35 to see Oklahoma just owning them and owning their entire league. Man, those guys, they are insecure. And it's going to keep getting worse from all I can tell. So, but you know what? It's going to be fun to watch. I'm going to enjoy it. Hope you enjoy it. And that's going to do it for us today here on Locked On Sooners. I hope you enjoyed the content. Hope you'll be back with us tomorrow because we'll be back. We're here every day, Monday through Friday. Like clockwork, we'll populate in your inbox. Subscribe to our podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, we're on all platforms. If you go on Apple Podcasts, and leave us a review. Give us a 5-star rating. We would appreciate that. We love the written reviews. We love to hear what you like, why you listen, where you listen from. It's helpful for us to know. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. Find our Facebook page, Locked On Sooners Podcast. And until tomorrow, Boomer Sooner.